The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Jerry Randall, CEO of Venture Life, an OTC healthcare products firm. So welcome, Jerry.
Morning, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, massive congrats on this morning's excellent full-year trading update, with sales rising 17% like-for-like to £44 million. In fact, most of that sort of momentum seems to have been happening in the second half, because I think the like-for-likes were just slightly shy of 2% in the first half. So that must mean you're really knocked the ball out in H2. So maybe we can start there. What's sort of been driving that? I mean, it must be over 30% like-for-like growth in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's come across all parts of our business. We've had particularly strong growth in the customer brands. And I think what we've seen there is a returning to sort of normal stock levels from 21, because in 2021, there was definitely destocking we saw in customers, and we saw that in results. And this year, they've gone back to that. And I think also they've gone back to ordering further ahead, which doesn't necessarily change our numbers, but it gives us better visibility further out, because they're worried about supply chain and securing. So good growth in some of our brands. Lift in particular, one of the acquired brands, grown really well. Also in Balance Active, Bayer launched a product in Brazil this year. That's had good momentum. And so seeing it across the business. And we always get a bit of a natural weighting in the second half of some of our international business ordering patterns. But even more, this half has been, you know, stronger ordering and growth from a number of customers.
And with that momentum, I mean, did I read it correct in terms of the order book is over double the size as it was at the sort of 12 months ago? Was that correct? Wasn't 14% higher?
It was 104%. It goes back to one of the things I mentioned just now, which was there's two parts to that. It's growth, which is, you know, growth in the natural sell-in that we sell into our customers as well as their sell-out. But also it's that extension of the ordering further forward, because now with customers, we just said, order further forward because we can ensure pricing, because we can ensure supply of the materials and make sure the materials arrive on time. Because whilst the supply chain is getting better, it's still not back to its normal level. You're still looking at longer lead times for materials and packaging than you were 2 years ago, pre-COVID, excuse me. And you're still looking at higher prices. But we are starting to see some improvements on the pricing side. We're starting to see competition coming back into pricing of some of the things we buy. We're beginning to see prices start to fall, by no means across the whole board, but in certain cases. And what we're seeing is energy costs now are probably lower than we expected them to be. So they're still significantly higher. You know, they're probably double what they were a year ago, but they're not treble. So, you know, those things are all starting to come into play, which we think will be helpful, not just for us, but for everybody in 23.
Good. And that sort of visibility and the sort of the guaranteed or almost semi-guaranteed order book, certainly a lot of it's to do with your customers' particular products and brands and stuff. Is that sort of like driven some of the, you know, the inventory build at the year? And you've just basically decided to strategically sort of like, you know, make sure that these guys have got it, because you know you've got the effectively a copper bottom sort of guarantee on their orders.
Yeah, you've got sort of two different trends happening contemporaneously. So going back to what I said just now, you're seeing prices start to improve. And so what we're seeing from now, we're starting to hold off on perhaps some of those buying decisions on inventory for even 3-4 weeks if we can, because prices are definitely easing. And so waiting 4 weeks might is. But because the order book's growing, we want to make sure we do have order book, that we want to make sure we can supply. So you've got both of those working against each other. And in the second half of the year, our inventory didn't really change. Even though we had big sellout, we saw big order book coming as well. So the inventory was going down because of sellout, but also we were building up a bit because of order book. So they're both working against each other. But I think you will see in 23 that inventory level, if you were talking like-for-like revenue, would be falling, but obviously with revenue growing, you get a bit of a build there as well. But not a huge investment in inventory this year, because we've done that last year.
Right, okay. And then just switching to sort of like the blend between your own brands and sort of third party. I mean, and I saw the statistic was 53% was your own brands in 2022, but you did buy HL Healthcare right at the end in December. So looking on a pro forma basis, where do we stand in terms of as we enter 2021 in that sort of split? 23, yeah. Sorry, I got the wrong year.
That's all right, yeah, back in time. So we're about 57% as we stand today, ex growth. So as we stand in January, that's where it is.
Good, and that should push, that natural blend should push your gross margins up, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, we had a much stronger sort of customer brands result than we were expecting for the year. Again, just growth in business. But I think part of that sort of getting back to normal stock levels is in there as well. So we wouldn't see a repeat of that growth next year, although there will be, you know, sort of growth in there. But yeah, that switch will be the higher margin HL business, because that was very high gross margins, but also very high EBITDA margins. And that will contribute, you know, significantly into next year's result.
Right. And how is the integration of HL Healthcare at the moment? Because it looked a very well priced, as in, like, you know, as in it was a good deal because it was earnings accretive on day one.
Yeah. No, it's a very good deal. It's quite a straightforward deal. It's effectively one product. I mean, there's a couple of smaller products in the portfolio, but one key product sold through key retailers. Very simple claims explanation and story. So, we're very happy that commercial integration has gone very well. That's being integrated into our commercial team. We've appointed a new brand manager specifically to manage the year-old product. And she's been in the business and working very hard on that. We're starting to do the technical integration as well, which is all around obviously regulatory and then sort of manufacturing feasibility. So looking at how we best optimize our manufacturing operations with that product. So yeah, so far, really, really, very happy.
Good. And then at the start of January, you announced some distribution deals and also a licensing deal. In fact, you've got quite a lot of moving parts. You've got a sort of like an innovation center there that I hadn't appreciated, to be able to license out IPR. I think it was about 1.3 million euros actually for a mouth ulcer treatment. I mean, obviously you guys have been knowing about it for some time, but it came out of sort of nowhere for me. So just to take us through that sort of, like, you know, perspective, because that's a really, again, just pure upside, really.
Yeah. So I mean, that's I suppose a demonstration of what we have in our innovation center in Italy, which has been working for our all our existing customers, both on the customer brands but also on our brand side. So that's a product we developed. It's got, you know, good claims, market beating claims, good margin for us. And we were able to put that out to a customer who's got, you know, a good brand in that space, and we'll do a better job with that product than we would. But it's really fundamental, that development, to our growth, particularly this year, because I know we've done quite a lot of M&A in recent years, but the focus this year is definitely around the organic growth of our business, particularly on the brands. And that innovation piece will form new product development going into our brands going forward this year. So that's quite important to us. There's a team of five people in Italy who focus purely on innovation for ourselves and for our customers. And this is just a demonstration of the sort of value they can generate.
Mm. And you also get the operating leverage, because if you're manufacturing the product as well, I guess, is sort of like, it not only helps you, sort of like gives you a license fee and potential royalties going forward, but also helps recover fixed operating costs, I imagine.
Yeah, and what you're seeing, you know, if you look at the EBITDA in the second half of the year, it's obviously stronger than it was in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, I mean, I was going through the numbers, and it seems as though your first half EBITDA margins were roughly about 17.5%, but your second half was over 20%, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that, it's really showing that operational effect. You know, as we get more volume through the business, that really drives through, because our overheads are fixed. So we're still running, you know, under full capacity in our manufacturing plants. And so as we increase volume, you get that effect. And that's what you saw in the second half, you know, 25 million of revenues against 19 in the first half. And that's what's essentially, that's what's driven the improvement in margin, because the split between Venture Life and Custom Brands was about the same first half and second half, but the volume was much higher. And so that's really driving good efficiencies. And we see good growth coming through in 2023 as well. So continue to see the progression of that EBITDA margin from two things, which is obviously the full year impact of the Earol acquisition, which is a higher margin business, and the increase in volumes that we're going to see.
Good. And then once you've got all those synergies together, where would you like that EBITDA? I mean, obviously you like it as high as possible, but it's just like, just for investors, I mean, are we talking the sort of 25% maybe?
Yeah, sure. We'd expect EBITDA margin to continue to improve. And I think over the sort of 2 to 3 year period, we expect that to gravitate towards 25%. And I think longer term, ultimately into the high 20s, could even reach as much as 30. But certainly over that 2 to 3 year period, we think 25% is a good target. And that's, as I say, a combination of volume and higher margin business increasing as a percentage of the overall.
Brilliant. And then there's sort of like another major growth opportunity and upside, which I don't think sort of contributed a great deal in 2022, is the partnership with Samarkand in China as that whole country reopens. How do you see that developing? Because it does seem as though they're decided really to, you know, stop all the COVID restrictions and let the economy sort of like flow again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what you're seeing at the moment, obviously, is you're seeing an increase in COVID levels. So it's very hard to know how accurate the data is reported. But, you know, we are getting feedback about factories shutting because of COVID, cases. And that'll probably be a shorter term thing because, you know, COVID will get into the population, they'll all catch it, and therefore you begin to develop some immunity. But we're definitely seeing improvements. Our partner out there is selling out the products in the first sort of 9 months of the year. They couldn't because of all the COVID lockdowns. So that started to sell. And I hope it continues to open in the same way, because obviously China's a good market. I mean, we have limited expectations in our number for it, but ultimately it could be, as it was before, a very valuable market for us.
Good. And then just in terms of the sort of the gearing on the balance sheet, having just done the acquisition, and you mentioned it, there was sort of like 1.4, I think, times yes. EBITDA at the year end, and that will be falling. So what is the sort of the major objective? Is it the top objective for this year? Is it to reduce, you know, to grow organically and reduce that leverage?
Yeah, strategically. So we've invested a lot in the last 2 or 3 years in brands that we've acquired. And that's been really valuable, as you can see in the results. You know, those acquired brands are doing really well. So well-chosen brands, good profitable businesses. So the focus this year is really investing in those brands that we've acquired, you know, applying our A&P budget into those and driving organic growth, not just in the UK with the A&P, but also internationally with penetration. You saw some of the deals we signed at the back end of the year. And that's going to, you know, increase our cash generation ultimately. So our target really is to focus on organic growth, focus on those key brands, focus on cash generation, and bringing that leverage down. Because even at 1.4 times, it's not demanding, but we'd expect that to fall to one or below by the end of the year.
Fabulous. Okay, then great. And in terms of just the news flow going forward, are the prelims like what? I don't know, April's or sometime like that? Is it any other news flow?
We haven't put a date out for our.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Like most companies, because we were stung last year with the auditors making a hash of it. And so, we're on target. End of first quarter would be our expectation. Everything's on target to do that, but we don't want to put a date because we can't rely on the auditors meeting it. There's that. I think you'll see more deals on the product. You'll see new product developments coming out, new listings, and just, you know, constant news flow driving that organic sort of flow and that margin through our business as we go through the year.
Brilliant. Okay, well, massive congrats again, Jerry, and the whole team for a tremendous end to 2022. And a huge order book, double the size of what you had 12 months ago. So there's obviously real momentum in the business. And look forward again in touching base at your prelims, whenever that is in the spring.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.